The federal government's jobs summit isn't until September, but government ministers are already out consulting with communities on how to address labour shortages and boost wages, skills and productivity. The Australian Council of Trade Unions has met and called for some really radical proposals to make full employment the central priority for government and the Reserve Bank. The plan would also tax businesses that profit from high inflation and impose price controls on some goods and services. The Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, was in Rockhampton yesterday. He's on the Sunshine Coast today and he's our guest. Treasurer, welcome.
Good morning, Patricia.
So the proposal from the ACTU has come up with what really looks like a pretty radical reshaping of how the economy functions. Are you prepared to consider some of the changes?
Well, obviously, when you put on a summit like we are, Patricia, you want people to bring forward their ideas, whether it's the union movement, whether it's the business community, community organisations. The whole point of having a summit like this is to bring people together to see if there can be common ground found. A lot of the suggestions made by the ACTU are not government policies, but it would be pretty strange if we said, come along to a summit and only bring along ideas which have been pre-approved by the government. That's not in the spirit of the summit. It's not in the spirit of the way that the government operates, whether it's ideas from the union movement or from the business community or from elsewhere. We want to see them put out there and discussed.
Angus Taylor, who is, of course, your opposite number, the shadow treasurer, says they would wreck the economy. Do you agree?
Oh, look, they're not the government's policies. You know, and there's a range of proposals.
Would they wreck the economy?
Well, I'm not going to use Angus Taylor's words, no. I mean, I don't think he comes to this conversation with deep reserves of credibility when it comes to these issues. They're not our policies, that what's been put out there by the ACTU, but we welcome a discussion about the priorities of unions and businesses and others in the lead up to the summit. The whole reason why I spent yesterday in central Queensland and today on the Sunshine Coast is because we genuinely want to see what people's proposals are for this job summit. Our objective here is to bring people together and to see if we can make sure that every business that needs a good, well-trained worker, enthusiastic worker, can find one, and that every worker who wants a good, secure, well-paid job can get one. Those are our objectives. Different groups will have different views about how we get there. But I think the effort to bring people together to find that common ground, I think it will pay off.
Let's go to some specifics. Is there merit in making full employment the primary focus of the Reserve Bank?
Well, one of the reasons why I've got this review into the Reserve Bank that you and I have discussed a couple of times on your program is because the Reserve Bank already has these two important objectives, one of them full employment, one of them the inflation targeting regime. And one of the things that the review will look at will be the relative, you know, strength of those two objectives. But one of the things that I think certainly economists understand and I understand is that the inflation targeting regime is really important because when prices go through the roof, as they have been lately, it's working people and vulnerable people who pay the heaviest price for that. And so the Reserve Bank review will have a look at the relative merits and strengths of the Reserve Bank's various objectives and give us advice on the best practice for how the bank weighs those up.
Critics say keeping inflation down is not an academic exercise, and there are real-world impacts when it gets out of control, of course. Do you back the RBA's determination to keep lifting rates until inflation falls?
Well, they'll take their decisions independently, but clearly they see an important task for themselves in managing demand in the economy. But as I've said a couple of times now, that's not the full story. You know, there's also a role at the moment. One of the reasons why prices are going through the roof is because we've got these issues in our supply chains. And so that's why the government is focused on making the economy more resilient, making sure we've got more better trained workers, while we're dealing with issues in energy, for example, issues in childcare, investing in our supply chains, investing in advanced manufacturing and a future made in Australia. All of these sorts of things are part of the story because we've got this inflation for a range of reasons. Global reasons are part of it. We've also got relatively strong demand in the economy, but we've got issues in our supply chains as well. And so there are things that governments should be focused on, and we are, and there are things that the Reserve Bank should be focused on, and it is.
Do you believe the Stage 3 tax cuts are actually needed? I'm not asking about the promise, but do you think economically they're needed?
Well, we've said repeatedly that given that they're already legislated and they come in a couple of years down the track, that we don't intend to change them.
That's not my question. Do you think they're needed?
Well, if we didn't think they were, we'd have a different approach to it. What we've said is we intend to leave them in place. They come in a couple of years down the track and they're legislated already. We think that there are steps that can be taken now in the tax system, particularly, I think, in relation to multinational tax avoidance. I think that that's where our priority should be, and that's why we've made that one of our election commitments, and you'll see that in the next couple of budgets.
You keep saying they're legislated. I've heard that in many interviews with me and beyond. But you're the government. You can unlegislate before they start if you make the decision that they're not needed and that they're not actually necessary right now and would do enormous damage to the budget. Is it worth having a conversation, as the ACTU wants, at the Jobs Summit about that?
Well, the reason I point out that they're legislated, and I obviously understand the point that you're making, but the reason I say that they're legislated is because I think there is a view out there in the community that somehow they need to be legislated between now and coming in 2024. And the point that I've made repeatedly as a reminder to people is that the status quo is that they're legislated. People do have views about them, and I understand that. I engage with people's views on that all the time. But it's a fact that they're legislated. It's a fact that we went to the election saying that we didn't intend to change them. That remains our position. But we've got priorities in tax reform and they're focused on multinationals.
And do you also welcome a discussion about the Stage 3 tax cuts at this summit?
Well, the summit is primarily about labour market issues, you know, specifically about some of the issues you raised in your introduction. Training is important, migration, childcare and participation. How do we make sure when we've got unemployment at really low levels that more people are actually accessing the opportunities in the labour market? How do we get that bigger, more productive, better trained workforce where we're getting decent growth in wages that is sustainable? These are our economic objectives. And so primarily that will be the focus of the summit. But again, it would be pretty strange for a government to say to anyone from any part of this argument that there's only a pre-approved list of issues that you can raise in the lead up to that summit.
Would you revisit this decision if a community consensus about the Stage 3 tax cuts emerged that they weren't necessary, given you can, of course, change legislation as a government?
Yeah, it's not our intention, and so it shouldn't be people's expectation that we would do that.
But are you inviting a conversation about it?
Well, we're inviting a conversation about the whole range of economic policies.
We've got a range of economic... Because that's a key economic policy.
Well, let me put it this way. We have an economic plan which is geared directly to the challenges that we confront in the economy around inflation, falling real wages. We've got an issue with $1 trillion of debt in the budget. Our economic plan is about that. But I think one of the things that we're trying to establish as a government, and I pay tribute to Anthony Albanese on this front for setting the tone, is we've had this decade of division which has delivered us an economy that is weaker than it should be, and Australians are poorer than they should be as a consequence because we've wasted a decade on unnecessary conflict. And so we're not going to go around trying to censor people's views about different aspects of economic policy. We are an inclusive government. We're a government that listens. And what we want to do is we want to hear people's views, whether it's this issue or issues more broadly in economic policy. That's how you get find that common ground that we are seeking, particularly when it comes to jobs and skills in the summit. But more broadly as well.
A business says worker numbers are more important than sweeping economic change. Will we see a dramatic boost to worker numbers as part of the outcomes here?
Well, it's pretty clear that we need a bigger workforce. I mean, one of the probably the defining thing that comes out of my consultations, particularly in regional Queensland at the moment, more broadly, is we've got skill shortages and labour shortages. And so we need a bigger, better trained workforce. And you get that through a range of things. Childcare is a big part of that, so people can work more and earn more if they want to. Training is obviously a hugely important part of that, skills and education. That'll be a key focus at the summit. And there's a role for migration to play too, but not as a substitute for those other two things. And so we need to move on all fronts simultaneously. And that's why the summit has made those sorts of issues the key priorities and the key focus.
Peter Dutton has rejected your invitation. Are you glad Nationals leader David Littleproud is attending?
Yeah, we welcome David Littleproud's attendance. You know, Peter Dutton threw his toys out the cot yesterday in a typically kind of divisive way. And I think it shows the difference between a Prime Minister and Anthony Albanese, who's genuinely trying to bring people together and find collaboration and consensus, and an opposition leader who's going out of his way to wreck that consensus.
Well, he says that it's a stunt, people. That this is a stunt.
Yeah, but this is the sort of language that emerges from this kind of bizarre Tony Abbott time warp that Peter Dutton seems to live in. You know, he goes out of his way to divide people and wreck consensus, and that's not consistent with the national appetite to see what we can achieve together by seeking that common ground, by coming together around our big economic challenges. And I think his behaviour in the last couple of days has isolated himself, humiliated himself, and it's already split the coalition.
Just briefly, and I'm about actually to speak to Peter Dutton, but the Chinese ambassador says his country will reunify with Taiwan by any means necessary, and there would be some form of, you know, re-education of the Taiwanese people when that happens. Did that alarm you?
I think that sort of language is concerning, obviously, and that's because, you know, our national interests in Australia are best served by peace, stability, and prosperity in the region. And that means no unilateral change to the status quo. It means restraint and de-escalation. It means calm and consistent language. And from our point of view, it means working with partners in the region to the extent that that's possible to deliver that stable region, that prosperous and peaceful region that we desperately need to see.
Treasurer, many thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's the Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, and you're listening to ABC RM Breakfast.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.